This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk sports with guys in the know.
It's embarrassing. I mean, are they not embarrassed?
It's time for Baskin and Phelps. Cleveland's Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Oh, man. How you feeling? Oh, yeah. It doesn't feel good, does it? No, it was fun to watch, man. But now you're trying to bite your arm off to get out of bed because you're trying to figure out what happened last night, aren't you? I know you are. I can hear you. I see you're rolling back to work today. You're like, oh, why did I stay up and watch that thing? And you're like, you know what? Maybe it was kind of fun. Maybe it was worth it. Maybe it was okay. Maybe everything's going to be all right someday. Not now, but everything will be all right someday. Is that how you're feeling today? Well, you should be, because it's a Browns Therapy Tuesday. That's exactly what it is. And guess what? Jeff and Menigan just left. So Volnick is left over. He slept here last night, so he was nice enough to stick around for the next 4 hours. Jake Volnick is in the house today for Jeff. Hello, Jake.
How's it going? No need to sleep. That's overrated these days, I think.
Sleep is totally overrated. 100%.
I say just keep me on 24 hours a day. This is great. Why walk away? Just put me on the mic every once in a while and just keep me around 24 hours.
You're our own personal CNN. That's great. 24-hour news. Thank you. Kayla Colejohn's going to be here today. So is James Bridges. He's going to answer the phone at 216-474-0092. I got news. I'm not even jump-starting today. Let's talk about what we witnessed last night. 41-32, the final. I thought the Browns were going to die when they were down 21-10 right before the break. But boom, they came back and scored another touchdown, and they made you stay up for another 2.5 hours to watch what we were able to see. I think the most impressive number of the night, Jameis Winston, 612 yards, 2 touchdowns for 2 teams last night. Bravo. Bravo.
I mean, it's both impressive.
If you want to add the interception numbers in. Yes.
Yeah. I think you got about as good as it gets for both sides there. He was responsible for a lot of points, 14 points in total just for Denver alone.
You know what? It was entertaining last night. I'll be honest. It was entertaining. And so that's what I'll wake up with this morning. Look, we know they're not going to the playoffs. We're kind of hoping they get a better draft pick. Jameis Winston is proving that we probably will never see Deshaun Watson ever again in a Browns uniform. Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston single-handedly did that. I sit here and we talk about what I think between the two of them, what do they have, 300-yard games plus between Flacco and Winston? And you sit here and you, like, the guy they spent all the money on, the guy they gave up all the draft picks on, couldn't get to 200 yards. All right, give me your initial thoughts on last night's game.
I think that with last night's game, you got every single option for both sides of the people. For people saying that you get Jameis Winston as a bridge quarterback in 2025, you got the perfect game for a display of this is why you would take the guy. And for the people who say there's no way you can go with Jameis Winston in 2025, you got the perfect game and example of why. I think this will be the talking point for everybody on either side, because you got Browns records being set for passing yards, 497 yards for Jameis Winston. And then you also got 3 interceptions, 2 pick sixes, 1 on the final drive. Probably wouldn't have mattered anyway, but threw it in the end zone. Like, You got the high and the low of the low in the same game.
The only thing, you didn't get the partridge in the pear tree there. You did get one missed field goal, which, by the way, kind of skewed things at the end of the game. As I was watching the end of the game, I'm like, oh, man, they're not down 8. They're down 9. Oh, how are they going to do this? And by the way, if Jameis doesn't force that last pass, at least they were in a position to try an onside kick. I know it hardly ever, rarely happens anymore, especially because, now I must declare I am making an onside kick. Not like you wouldn't in that position anyway. But I don't know. I wasn't mad after last night's game. And I don't know if it's because the bar is so low or it was because it was kind of a fun game to watch. Jerry Jeudy was outstanding. That was a blast to watch him last night. And just to watch him stick it to his old team, I was good with that. I really was good with that. And, you know, one of the parts of the game last night that I thought was extremely perplexing was the way that Troy Aikman and Joe Buck were talking about Nick Chubb. And we talked about this on the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast, which is available now, but you should wait till 2 o'clock to listen to it. I'm just being honest with you. Or you can watch it on YouTube anytime. So just do it after the show. But, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to these guys talk about Nick Chubb, and I'm like, they heard something in a production meeting that no one else has been talking about. And it, to me, listening to those guys, they were talking about Nick as if, you know, Nick was going to be playing a lot more and that they thought they would see more Nick Chubb in the game last night, or that someone in one of the production meetings from the Browns had maybe said something like, maybe this is a good game where we use Nick Chubb a little bit more. We feel like he's getting better. I thought Jerome Ford looked okay last night. But, you know, 77 yards on the ground isn't going to help you get there. And, you know, Denver went for 106 last night. Bo Nix is going to be a nightly staple on national TV moving forward into the rest of the future. So I think those were some of the things that I learned from last night's game. But I thought the Chubb story was extremely interesting. But, again, I think the big headline when you look at it is, okay, what does this mean for Jameis Winston's future? I really think that that's what most people walk out of last night's game going, man, look what he did. Oh, but look what he did.
Yeah. The rushing thing was interesting, too, with Jerome Ford and Nick Chubb, because I understand you can't take away their longest runs, but if you do, aside from that, like, Jerome Ford, 8 carries for 20 yards.
Yep.
And Nick Chubb, 8 carries for 11 yards. Like, you had 2 pretty good runs, and other than that, it was nothing.
How did they shred Denver's defense last night?
It made no sense. It was one of the top defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I sat there and I watched it, and it was like Jerry Jeudy knew their playbook, right?
It's weird.
How often was he open? I mean, I kind of wanted him to win just to humiliate Denver even more. And I don't know why. I'm not Mr. Vengeance, but I don't know why, but I was really on. And then Elijah Moore ends up with 111 yards in that game last night, 8 receptions. And, like, it's an unknown story in the game. You're like, oh, by the way, Elijah Moore had 111. Yeah, what? One time all season they've had somebody go over 100? That was Jerry Jeudy, so he's done it twice. And that's only the second receiver this year to go over 100 yards in receptions in Elijah Moore. David Njoku makes no sense to me at all. If you throw a ball to him and it is the hardest ball in the world to catch, he is going to get it. But some of those ones where he's wide open and he drops, you're like, David, what are you doing, man? What's going on here? It's bizarre.
It felt like, to a degree, he had it almost figured out last year, and then it was right back to not. And maybe that's part of switching around your quarterback, you know, 3 times. But it felt like he had it figured out. He got targeted 17 times last night and walked away with 9 catches. And I'm telling you, most of those got to David Njoku. Like, he dropped, I think, at least 3 or 4 that hit him directly in the hands.
The second touchdown catch was awesome.
Yeah, it was
a straight-out basketball play.
It gave me flashbacks to last week against Pittsburgh, where he rises up, goes over the defender, and comes down. You're like, how? Because it was a couple plays before that it hit him right in the hands, and he dropped it in the end zone. It makes no sense. He's completely opposite of what you would expect. He catches everything that you go, there's no way he catches this, and the ones that he's standing still and it hits him dead in the hands for 4 yards are the ones that fall to the ground.
I don't understand it. Is it psychological? What do you think it is? It's got to be. Oh, I'm wild. Because I think you're thinking about the next step. And I think on the really hard catches, you have to concentrate on the football because you want it so bad. But when you know you're wide open and the ball's coming right to you, I think you're thinking, oh, am I turning, especially when your back is to the defense. Am I turning to the right? Am I turning to the left? Is there someone behind me? Where am I going to go? Maybe I'm hearing phantom footsteps. I don't get it. And they threw the ball to him 17 times. So, I mean, here's the other bizarre number. I can't stop looking at that number 58 next to Jameis Winston. If your quarterback's throwing the ball 58 times, you're probably in trouble.
Yeah, the run game clearly didn't help out there. He dropped back to pass 61 times because he walked away with three sacks as well. That's not a good position to be in. Like, it's nice to see the numbers and him throw for almost 500 yards, but at the same time, 58 pass attempts usually is not an indicator that things are going right on offense.
The defense gave up, what, less 14 off 41, so did they give you enough to win the game last night? Would it have been nice to have a little bit more defense last night? Would it have been nice not to see Bo Nix standing in his own end zone, finding Marvin Mims for 93 yards to come right out of the gate in the second half? You know, when the Browns had the ball to start in the second half, I was like, oh, this is what a great opportunity, right? You're down 21-10. Next thing you know, it's 21-17 before the break, and you're like, okay, let's take advantage of it. Let's go see one of those great drives that Kevin Stefanski is able to, you know, figure out what he wants during the week rather than having to call it during a game. I think that was a turning point. I still can't believe that Denver was thinking twice with 2.5 minutes about not kicking the field goal, right?
Yeah, because they walked away, called the timeout.
Yeah, that they were going to go for it down.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
how do you not take the lead in that point? I know they said analytics told them to kick the ball. Yeah, why wouldn't you have?
Yeah, especially, analytics can tell you. You know what else tells you? My staring at the scoreboard and knowing that with one drive, you can only get 8 points. So
analytics,
why wouldn't you go up nine?
Mathematics, all those. And then that Jaquan McMillan interception. I mean, as much as you want to bash Jameis for throwing some silly, like the last interception was silly. That was just silly. But that Jaquan McMillan, that was unbelievable. The way he stepped in there, worked around, and then, you know, and then was able to run it back in for, what, 46 yards. I'm still not quite sure what Elijah Moore was thinking by not touching him.
Yeah, I know he talked about it in the postgame a little bit.
We'll play it a little bit later. I just, like, dude, you got to touch him. It's not.
And if there's any doubt in your mind, you go touch him anyway.
No, I wasn't sure. That's what he said. I'm like, what? You're in the NFL, man. If you're not sure, you touch him.
Yeah, you go back and you tap him down. There's no question about it. Heck, guys will think they touch him, he gets back up, and if they're not hearing the whistle loud enough or if he starts to run, I'll tackle him again. Why not? They're not going to throw the flag for that. Mm. It just seemed like a play where maybe a little disappointment sets in immediately, and you look back and instant reactions didn't kick in.
Yeah, there's a million storylines in this game, and one of those other storylines is the Browns weren't able to get to Bo Nix. Not one sack in last night's game. Not one. Jameis Winston took some sacks at some bad times too last night. He ended up getting sacked 3 times for 22 yards. So there's a lot on the line here, and I know we're going to talk a lot about all this stuff throughout the day. So you know what it is. It's a Browns Therapy Tuesday. You're more familiar, of course. Jake is always familiar with Browns Therapy Monday, which we've been doing for 13 years around here. Jeff is off today. Those guys worked super late last night, and Dan, those guys will be back tomorrow as well. So we'll get them into the mix. We'll understand what they have to talk about. But again, I ask these big questions going into today's show. What did we learn about Jameis Winston? What did we learn about Kevin Stefanski? What do you think about Ken Dorsey? I could lay out about 30 different things that we learned from last night's game. And was it such a bad thing they lost last night? I wanted them to win. It's not like I didn't want them to win. I wanted them to be able to come back late in the game. I wanted them to be able to get that touchdown and have an onside kick and then, you know, maybe have a chance for Dustin Hopkins to avenge that early missed field goal, which kind of changed things at the end of the game. So there's a lot of things to talk about today. I know you've got a lot on your mind today, too. I'm sure you're probably just kind of rolling out of bed on this one, too. I hope you made it to work on time because that was a late one last night. So Denver beats the Browns. Broncos over the Browns, 41-32. Browns drop to 3-9. They still only have one road win this year, and you don't want to look at the schedule coming up. I'm just being totally honest with you. What do you think? Get it off your chest. We want to talk to you about it. It is a Browns Therapy Tuesday. Jake Volnick is in today. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Browns Therapy Tuesday. We're here for you, kids. We are. We're just hanging out. We're going to sit here all day. We're going to work through this. We're going to keep talking about what happened in last night's game. We're going to talk about the future. And the future, I think, has to do with Jameis Winston. I mean, we're talking, you know, 34 of 58, 494 yards, four touchdowns, three interceptions. You know what you're going to get with Jameis Winston. You know that in, no matter how good a drive looks, he could rattle off, you know, a couple of back-to-back 25-yard passes, you know, thread the needle, like have these beautiful passes. And then you know that there's a good shot somewhere down the road. One of those passes is going to be a beautiful pass that ends up in the other team's hands. That is just who he is, and we've known that. I just don't know where we're going with Jameis Winston. And they brought up the point at the end of the game last night, you know, are the Browns going to be able to bring him back next year? If you're a team looking for a quarterback, are you looking at Jameis Winston? I mean, I enjoyed last night's game, but I enjoyed that just as much as I did a Joe Flacco game last year. Very similar, right? I mean, both these guys get the offense sparked up. You know, you think about Joe Flacco and Amari Cooper, how they were able to set records there. That was the same way it felt last night with Jameis Winston and Jerry Jeudy. So where do you stand, Jake Volnick, who's in for Jeff today, where do you stand on Jameis Winston?
It's so tough because you say it reminds you of Joe Flacco, yeah, minus the result of the game, right? Like,
right, it's the numbers. Yeah. It's the numbers, and, you know, Joe was throwing interceptions too. The team, I'm trying to remember who said it last night about this team just needs to learn how to finish. I think it was Elijah Moore that said it.
I think everybody in the locker room said it.
Yeah.
Like, so, every single person was like, we just need to learn how to finish a game right now. Like, it's, we're getting all the way up until the end. We're right there, and then we can't finish the game. It's, I guess my concern going into then next year thinking, do you want Jameis Winston on your team, is what are you trying to do next season? Like,
if you're trying to back you up, let me even back you up on one more step. Everything in my mind, everything in my world, watching Jameis Winston, watching Joe Flacco, says that we will never, ever, ever see Deshaun Watson be a quarterback for the Browns again. Everything in my mind says that. And then I look down at my wallet, and it reminds me again, hey, I run things around here. And, it, you know, if you're the Browns, you still have to look at that. It's not the cord is not going to be detached. The financial cord is there. It's not going anywhere. And so, you know, are you going to ask him to sit out next year? I think fans would be okay with that.
Yeah, no doubt. How do you not look at what you've done the last 2 years? Two guys who have been considered, for the most part, sort of washed out NFL quarterbacks, right? Joe Flacco, definitely. Jameis, sort of considered one of the, I guess, upper echelon backups in the NFL. They both step in and look like the offense is as good as it could possibly look. It looks like one of the best offenses in the NFL with those two guys at the helm. And then Deshaun stepped in, couldn't score 20 points, couldn't throw for 200 yards. I mean, it was like pulling teeth watching Deshaun Watson in the Browns offense. I don't know how you go from those two things with Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston and then go back to Deshaun, look at it, and you can compare it between the 2 years. You have two sample sizes in each one, and the other guy was always the better option. The guy who wasn't supposed to be the better option was always the better option. You have to think, I don't know where money puts you, but like a mid-tier quarterback probably has this team, like a mid-tier NFL starter has this team in a really good spot.
They would be 500 if Jameis Winston started all season.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the problem.
I think he would have handed some games away. They would have. I mean, I don't think they would have lost to Cincinnati with him.
No, probably not.
I don't think they lose to Cincinnati. I think there's some other games there that they're a little bit more competitive in. And it's just, so is that lesson number one? That if there was any I would love to see Jimmy Haslam step out to the podium at the end of the season and go, you know what? I made a mistake. Andrew made a mistake. We made a lot of mistakes. And it's nothing personal against, you know, Deshaun, but it was a mistake. Sorry. And we didn't mean to set the franchise backwards, especially one that when Baker Mayfield was here, they were, what, 3 yards away from making it to the AFC Championship? 3 yards. Now we're 3 million miles away.
Yep.
All because they decided to make a decision on a quarterback that just didn't work. It's not personal, and I understand why they might have been infatuated with the numbers from him prior to that, but they also knew they were getting a guy that had been out for a season, that they had to sign a new contract with. I mean, I hate walking back down that road, but I don't know. I almost want the franchise to man up and go, you know what? We made a gigantic mistake, and we're sorry. And say it. I don't want to just see it and go, oh, by the way, Deshaun's he's inactive this week. He's in. Was he even in Berea? Nah. Nah.
You really think you're going to get that apology?
No, there's no way.
I don't think so.
But if I was a season ticket holder, I'd be appreciative of it. I would be like, you know what? We're finally seeing some honesty, and we think that maybe we can I don't know. I'm living in a pipe dream if I'm thinking any of this is going
to
happen.
Pretty much. I don't think there's any chance to get that apology. I think they sort of just walk the line, never admit they were wrong, and try to move on from it silently.
No, but the only thing you're ever going to see is finger pointing when it's all said and done. Like, you know,
it's already finger pointing now.
Well, no, it'll get worse, though, once somebody gets fired. At some point, someone's going to write a book.
Yeah, no, that's
somebody. Jimmy's going to come back and go, you know, I wasn't really sure of this, but then, you know, those guys convinced me that we should do this, and then Baker said he didn't want anything to do with us, and so this is why we decided this was the right time. We were going to pay any price because it was worth it at the time. As we sit here on December 3rd of 24, wondering how they had a guy that, you know, couldn't throw for one 200-yard game, let alone a 300-yard game, and you got backups that can do it on a consistent basis. It's a tough feeling. Dominic is in East Rochester. Hello, Dominic.
What's going on, Dominic?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
You know, just tired and just kind of trying to digest and figure out what we saw last night. How about you?
And I'd like to talk about last night, but you are dreaming as far as an owner coming out.
Yeah, I know I am. Would it make you feel better, Dominic? I know I'm dreaming. Oh. But
yeah, of course it would make me feel better. Of course. Listen, we knew it was a mistake when it happened. I mean, come on. It was always a mistake. You know, I know you told me there were other teams that were interested because you told me that once.
Well, there were. I mean, it's written. I mean, you can go. I mean, it's over and over.
Nobody wanted to pay him. But nobody wanted to pay him $230 million.
Or maybe we just stepped up first and said, this is the deal. Here's the best contract in the history of the game.
So anyway, listen, last night, you know, naturally, I don't like losing, you know, plus I had them minus six. You know, you think they could have scored that last touchdown. But anyway, you know, it's a house of horrors for us anyway in Denver, you know that. But on the other hand, it's supposed to be entertainment, and it certainly was an entertaining game. I mean, you got to say that. And as far as Winston goes, you know, no, please don't start barking. As far as Winston goes, you know, I like him. He's not the answer for us long term, but you know, I really would like to see them assign him. You gotta love his passion for the game, really. You know, he, as you said, this is what he is, though.
Yes,
he's got a, you know, he's got a big arm. And he tries to use it. And by the way, little credit to the offensive line last night. You know, for the most part, they gave him time to do what he needed to do. You know, before you let me go, I have to ask you a question. Do we have a first-round draft choice?
Yes. Yes, we do. Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, yes, we do.
Well, then, you know, that makes the loss a little better, I guess, if there's such a thing. And, you know, last thing, I like Aikman. And as a matter of fact, there was a time once when if I needed to win one game, I would have taken Troy Aikman because he could really play quarterback. Of course, he had the players, too. But I didn't get the Chubb thing. Listen, Nick is not the Nick of old. You can see that.
I think he's still in this rehab year. Like, I think he could get better, you know, once he builds a little bit of strength. I thought I was happy that he had a couple extra days off. I don't know. I hope he's still on the roster next year. I mean, I really do.
Oh, so do I. So do I. You got to love the guy. I mean, just the fact that he's on the field in an NFL game. I mean, this guy was, you know, they tore it up not once but twice. You know, you wondered whether or not the guy would ever be back on the field. And you got to give credit to that other running back. I can never remember his name. But, you know, he was pretty good. He's pretty tough.
Jerome Ford, yeah.
Ford. I'm sorry. It's I keep thinking of Hunt.
But, all right, Dominic, we're going to let you go. Did you get snowed in, my friend? Did Rochester get it bad? I'm just curious.
No, you know, I'm still in Tennessee. I'm going home Sunday. We got snow here last night, though. Not much, but an inch or two. So.
All right. Well, stay safe, Dominic. We appreciate your phone calls. Thank you, my
right,
friend.
Man, thank you.
All right, Dominic. You got it. Thank you. So I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm like, all right, so here's what's next. Pittsburgh, who is so steamed at us, right?
Right.
Steamed. They're in first place in the North. Then the next game, you got the Chiefs. They're only 11-1. It's going to be cold. They're in first place in the West. Then you get the Bengals, right? 4-8, third place. Got a chance to pass them in the standings. Is that a goal?
Big game. Everyone's got that one circled on NFL Sunday.
Well, I'm looking at the current
draft. NFL currently Thursday.
I'm looking at the current draft order. You know where the Browns sit?
Not low enough.
8. You know where the Bengals sit?
9.
Yes. So, that could be a battle for the 8-9 pick. Although the Browns will have the opportunity to lose a couple other games after that if they want to keep on this tankathon, which I don't think they are. I don't think they're playing that way. The Dolphins are, 5-7? Is that right? They're in second place, though, in the East. That's how bad things are.
AFC East already clinched up, too.
Yeah, so
Buffalo already got it.
So they're in second place. I was just giving them the place. And then you got the Ravens, 8-6 last week of the season. How does that make you feel?
Give you any confidence? Probably like... You got 5 losses coming up, or pretty close to it. You might sneak one in there.
I think you get the Bengals. I think they'll get the Bengals. I think Pittsburgh is going to be out for blood. They're still blaming the snow for last week. But you're in the NFL, man. You got to play. It was the same bad weather for the Browns as it was for the Steelers. I mean, I know Pittsburgh's a little bit warmer than Cleveland. I don't know if you don't get the true. I mean, you don't get the lake effect. But you got the same weather as Columbus. Columbus is always 10 degrees warmer, right?
Yeah.
The Steelers are, it was the snow's fault. Okay. It was the snow. Both teams had to play in the same thing. Buddy of mine was telling me that our sister station over in Pittsburgh was just like all amped up yesterday to want to play the Browns this week down in Pittsburgh. Amped up. I'm like, I don't have time. I'm listening to him tell me this whole story, and I'm like, I don't have time for this because we have Denver tonight. That was my big concern.
It's really fun when the 9-3 team's looking more forward to playing the 3-9 team than the vice versa. You would think it's a trap game the other way. It might be a trap game for the Browns. The Steelers are coming in with a little bit of vengeance. You might be riding high off of one win.
I wonder what Pittsburgh's thinking, though, after watching the Browns' offense last night. I mean, the defense is probably excited because they know they're going to be able to score some points. But, you know, if you look at it the other way, it's like, All right, did you hear some of the things Jameis had to say? Did you hear what he had to say? Mary Kay Cabot's going to join us at 11. Greg Williams... Oh, yeah, he's going to join us. He's going to come get some with us, or we're going to come get some with him at noon. And then Jason Lockenfor, I'm not sure if you heard earlier in the week what he said about Kevin Stefanski. We will talk about that straight ahead as well. So a lot of things going on. We do want to hear from you today. It is a Browns Therapy Tuesday. Get it off your chest, Northeast Ohio, 216-474-0092.
I am a better player. In times like this, it's an opportunity to continue to glorify the Lord, even through the toughest circumstances. I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes. Like, that's not me. A phenomenal game. Offense. Do some great things. I mess it up.
What?
It's one way to go about it.
What?
Listen, if you keep throwing them, I mean, you got to ask somebody.
The Lord was just looking out for the Broncos today. That's what the Lord wanted. He said, today the Broncos will win. Are you kidding?
I think he probably should have asked for delivery from interceptions. Pick sixes seems a little specific. Right? Like, let me stop handing them points, but they can have the ball. They can have the ball, but stop giving them the point. Like, no, we should probably, I mean, if you're going to ask, you might as well take the whole bag and run with it, right? Like, you might as well ask for the big shot.
Does it feel a little, like, blasphemous at this point?
No, because he's, I mean, I get it. I understand where he's coming from. I just don't, like, I got to tell you, as a guy that talks sports all day, loves sports, would do, you know, just love everything about this, love it at all levels, don't care what sport it is, love talking about sports. I'm hoping that if there's a higher being, they've got more important things to do than worry about him throwing pick sixes. I'm going out on a limb on this. I mean, it is a therapy Tuesday, so I mean, we do need to get it off our chest. So I get it. I understand it. I mean, I'm trying to think. I'm listening to our postgame show last night, and the guys that came on directly after on Odyssey, they were like, one guy was like, I love it. Jameis is great for the game. He's always giving us a storyline. He's hysterical. He's interesting. He's this. And the other guy goes, no, his act is tired. I mean, he is a complete, you know, polarizing guy one way or another, right?
Yeah, I feel like people enjoy it for the entertainment side of it, but I do feel some people think that the whole get up of him constantly sort of throwing out the quotes and giving you something to laugh about it in a post-game, sort of a gimmick almost for him, or a ploy just to be interesting, quote-unquote. Like, when you keep losing, I mean, we've talked about it on the station a ton. Like, that's something that people feel, the more you lose, the more that gets old with guys.
Yeah, no, I get it. All right, again, it is a Browns Therapy Tuesday, and you know how to play, right? You just come in, you call 216-474-0092, and then you get it off your chest. So we're able to hear and talk about what happened to the Browns last night on Monday Night Football. Mary-Kate Cabot, excuse me, is going to join us at 11 o'clock. All right, so you know the rules. Let's go to Bostonian first. Has a good take on the Browns. Right, Bostonian, what do you got?
I'll stop first with the Celtics. The Celtics.
Bostonian, do you not listen to a word that I just said?
Oh, yeah.
Get with the program. What? You got a Browns take? Go.
All right, I got a Browns take.
Okay.
They lost again last night. They're out of the playoffs. You don't have to cheer for him anymore.
Yeah. Oh, we don't have to cheer for him anymore.
Get rid of that coach.
Oh, okay, good. Nothing makes me feel better about getting rid of Kevin Stefanski than you letting us know. By the way, if you do want to do this, can I just, is this the new anthem of the Celtics? 12 points, baby. You had the Cavs. You had them, and then you didn't.
Right.
So you tell me, why don't you make up 15 excuses why the Celtics didn't beat the Cavs the other day?
I'll give you one excuse.
I'll give you one.
They didn't play Brown and White.
Oh, okay. Let's see. You know, we had guys hurt, too. We got defensive guys hurt. We got problems, too. But you know what? You know what? You can look down on us, Bostonian, because you know what? Look up, because this is what you're going to see, second place. Good night now, Bostonian. Uncle. Idiot.
We assume he's a Patriots fan?
Who cares?
They're 3-10.
Idiot. Browns Therapy Tuesday. Yeah, maybe I had to you know what all over you. Again, Cavs won 12 points. You still had your best players. You did. You were fine. And now you can live with that for the rest of the season. Someone take me back to reality here. Let's talk to Don. If my mouse works, in Cuyahoga Falls. Hi, Don. Hello, Don.
For taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I love your show, and I am calling because I love the Browns now. Yeah, they lost last night, but it was a wonderful game to watch. It's too bad how it turned out, but you know what? They have been so exciting and so fun to watch since Jameis took over. I love this kid. I know, you know, he's not your top, you know, set the world on fire guy. He's been around a long time, but he's a team guy, capital T-E-A-M, team guy. Please don't disparage his faith. That's how he gets by every day, and I understand that, and I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. I'm not disparaging his faith. Please don't think that. I'm just like,
no, I get
it's
it.
A, it's
I
get a football it. Game at the end of the day. That's
right.
All. Yeah.
Right. I get that, but the bottom line on Jameis is this kid is all in for the team. He is great for the team from a locker room standpoint, on the field. It's, you know, he's just Flacco point part two and younger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
true. We need to keep this kid around. They need to re-sign him. Yeah, we need to draft. But you know what? Whatever we got to do to set that piece of human, you know what, the rest of his time here that we owe him money, this kid makes me, I'll pay my money to go see them. I'll watch them on TV. I wasn't doing that before Jameis started. Thanks, and I'm out.
Thank you, Don. Browns Therapy Tuesday. That's what it's all about. That's what's getting it. Jake, you can feel it. Now you feel the vibe of what Northeast Ohio is feeling today. We are going to get a good feeling.
Yeah, I feel like I got my clipboard ready.
All right, let's go. Mark in North Olmsted. Hi, Mark.
Andy, how are you?
I'm tired. My throat hurts right now. I'm getting a little irritated. Bostonian snuck in there. Shouldn't have let that happen. Bostonian, it's on me. Man. It's my bad.
Bad guy.
I apologize, Andy, listen, Northeast Ohio.
It's a loser mentality, man. You know, the game was fun to watch. Even though we lost, it was still fun to watch. The quarterback sucks. The quarterback sucks. The coach sucks. This is who Jameis Winston is. You have Jameis Winston throw the ball 60 times, he's going to give the other team 20 points. This is what this team needs to do. They need to go get a rookie quarterback next year. I don't care who it is. And you put his feet to the fire, and you find out if he's about it. This bridge quarterback stuff, winning 6 games a year, losing 12, or however many that you lose in the 7th, 11, and that 11 losses being exciting. Enough is enough with that. You just said 20 minutes ago we were 3 yards away from an AFC championship game. Now we're 3 million miles away, and we're celebrating losses where our quarterback throws 2 pick sixes, and we run the ball 18 times in cold weather in Denver. The coaching staff is a joke. Alex Van Pelt had it right. That's why they let him go. I don't mean to bring everybody down, but we lost yesterday, and we lost bad, and we gave the game away. The same way the Celtics gave away the game to the Cavs, okay? The reality of the fact is that we need a quarterback and we need a strong coach. Kevin is what Kevin is, and they'll probably keep him around because they just signed him to that extension. But at the end of the day, these moral victories of, well, this quarterback only has 1 sexual assault case, so we'll celebrate him instead of 26 of them. And these moral victories of okay, well,
Mark, let me just take this to football for a second. And you talked about it for a second there too, with Flacco and with Jameis. Does it give you hope for Kevin Stefanski though? Do you understand what I'm saying? That he's able to take these guys and be able to. And I don't know if you want to give Ken Dorsey credit here or not, but Kevin has been able to do things with these guys where they've been able to throw the ball for over 300 yards. Does this give you the notion to say, I understand why they want to hang on to Kevin?
I would hang on to him for 1 more year, get him his quarterback of the choice in the draft next year, and let's see what it looks like when he has a young guy and not these retread guys where you know that they're turnover machines. I can agree with that. Okay. And if it's still the same bleep show that it's been for the past 3 years, it's time to blow it up. And whoever gave the order to play Deshaun for this first 7 weeks, we all know it was Paulie. He's got to go too. I got a client on hold, Andy. I love
all
you guys.
Right. Thank you, Mark. All right, go make some money. Go make some money. Thank you. Mark's got a client online. Good. Good. I wish I was his client online. I'm just saying. Be good, wouldn't it? Maybe we could all be making some money here.
Might be. Do you feel like that's a loser mentality, by the way?
Yeah, I do think that me sitting around last night, I said this to Jamal White, who I was doing postgame with last night. I'm like, they lost, right? And the bar is so low. And he said exactly what I said last night. I said, the bar is so low that because we were entertained last night and saw a guy throw for almost 500 yards, we're kind of excited. It is. I mean, that was the part of that conversation. I was like, I can't argue with him. 216-474-0092. That's the number to get it off your chest today. It is a Browns Therapy Tuesday. Mary Kay Cabot will join us next. Jake Volnick is in for Jeff.